Now, I've entitled my message, Good Godly Parents. That's part one. You will kind of work out why I've called it part one, because I wouldn't have time to tell you all that is recorded in the scriptures, verses that have been read this morning for us. Now, friends, it is not uncommon today to hear that any man can be a father and mothers, instead of taking responsibility of raising their children, discard them like rubbish. But it takes a special man to really be a father. In other words, a man can make a woman pregnant today, and the news is broken a month or two down the line that he is the father of the child. How he responds to the news, the support he gives his wife, will tell you whether he is a father that fathers by simply making children, or a father that loves by being there for his wife and child. A father that is always there for his child is a good father. Now, what makes a father godly or a good mother godly? Now, let us see if we are able to pick up a few principal characteristics from Joseph and Mary. And that's the couple that we have in mind, seeing that we are moving to the Christmas period, and specifically on Christmas Day when we will be celebrating the birth of Jesus. So it's important to look at the parents. And so I want to look at the character of Mary first of all. And so in order for us to look at the character of Mary, we got to pick up what Luke is trying, the historian and the medical doctor Luke, that is trying to paint a picture of who this woman is. Joseph and Mary were good, godly parents. And it begins with when Mary is told that she will fall pregnant. Now have a look at chapter 1 of Luke and verse 30 to 33. Luke chapter 1, verse 30 to 33. But the angel said to her, that is Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, notice Mary's response tells you the type of woman that she is or that she was. Have a look at verse 34. Verse 34 tells us Mary's response. "How will this be?" Mary asked. "Since I am a virgin." Now the angel explains how Mary is going to conceive a child in verse 35 to 37. The angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, friends, this is then followed, if you look carefully, by Mary's obedience in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Now, as a young woman, in the prime of her life and career, she could have easily dismissed this as weird, ignored it, and got on with her life, isn't so? But she did not do this. Instead, she takes this message to heart and does not even think of the embarrassment this would cause her, and worse, if Joseph, a boyfriend, found out, she would definitely lose him. Now, today, a number of young people are not prepared to lose their boyfriends, even though they know that their relationship is one of disobedience in not obeying God's word. They continue in spite of their parents' objection that dating a non-Christian is in direct violation of God's word. Now, I have some news that a so-called Christian, in inverted commas, has taken a young non-Christian girl and they are living together without parental consent. Who do you think should have known better in this case? Surely, it is the Christian. What we have instead is either a rebellious attitude of total disobedience or disregard for God's word, or that the so-called Christian, again in inverted commas, does not really know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The scriptures point us in the right direction when we see both Joseph and Mary in a right relationship with God, and they did everything right. Now, friends, when you do everything right, you expect to be blessed, isn't so? So let's look at Mary's relationship with God. Now, although Mary was troubled when the angel spoke to her in Luke 1:29, she seemed not to have a problem communicating with the angel. Seems like it's fine. It was almost like second nature to her to communicate with an angel. Well, the Bible does say she was troubled, she was a bit afraid. But she had no problem communicating. Now, what does this tell you about Mary's prayer life? It tells us that Mary had an awesome prayer life. That she communicated with God in the quietness of her heart, in the quietness of her room, wherever she just was in touch with the living God. And therefore, when the angel came, she had no problem communicating with this great and awesome angel representing the Lord. And this tells you and I that she was a prayer warrior. Now, she was also betrothed to Joseph, but remained a virgin. Have a look at chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What a terrific greeting. Now, such betrothal was a legal binding marriage engagement. I remember in the early days when a boy meets a girl and they kind of love each other and like each other, what used to happen is that a proposal will take place. You know what a proposal is? Okay, the boy goes to the girl's house and the girl brings a tea with a tray and the tray is shaking. She's so nervous. Now that kind of thing. It doesn't happen anymore. And then a date is set for engagement. The engagement is telling you that it is a binding agreement. My daughter or my son is guaranteed to marry your daughter. It was a binding engagement, and if you broke that, it was almost like divorcing. And so it was in the Eastern tradition in Jerusalem with the Jews. And so we see here that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Now, there was no hint of any sexual relationship before marriage. Listen to Mary's response in chapter 1 and verse 34 again. How will this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? Now, she would not have dared to say that to the angel had she been sexually active with Joseph. Nor would the Holy Spirit use a vessel of dishonor and impurity. She immediately went to visit a relative after this news. And the communication between the relatives tells you of their relationship with God and with each other. Elizabeth blessed a relative. And what a blessing it was indeed. Today, friends, when we talk about blessing, it seems to be connected with money and material possessions. I was speaking to a builder this past week to do some work for me at home. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago. I asked him, how much will it cost me for you to do this job? He said to me, why don't you bless me, Pastor? Now, the blessing he was looking for was certainly not a prayer. That would have suited me fine. You know, if he said, that's my understanding of blessing, you know. Pray for the guy. You know, why don't you bless me, Pastor? I said, sure, I'll pray for you, you know. But he didn't have that in mind. What he had in mind was that I give him whatever is in my heart to give him. He was asking me to put a price to the job. I turned around and told him, I don't work with such blessing. You tell me how much it cost, and I will pay you for your job. See, the blessing between Mary and Elizabeth had nothing to do with money. It had everything to do with how they communicated God's word to each other. And the blessing comes when we listen and obey God's word. What else do we know about Mary? Well, instead of being concerned and anxious, she bursts into song, which tells you and I of a close relationship and communion with God. Have a look at chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary sang this beautiful song, which has been encapsulated in what is called the Magnificat in the Jewish books. What a great and awesome godly woman. Now let's look at the character of Joseph. What kind of a person was he? Well, Joseph was also a godly man and a good husband. Now, in order for us to understand what the Bible tells us about Joseph, you won't find much written about Joseph in Luke. So turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew tells us a little bit about Joseph. So, Matthew chapter 1. Okay, that's the first gospel in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 18 through to 21. Okay. Trust that you're all at that page. Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, is not telling us that Joseph was a boyfriend. That's how legally binding the betrothal was. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. If you read the ESV, the English Standard Version, or the King James Version, it tells us that Joseph was a just man. Now, this meant that Joseph was in a right relationship with God, and one could count on Joseph to always do the right thing. He was a fair man. He was a just man. And that is why we have the word justification in the Bible. Justification is to make right or to put right something that is wrong. Justification by faith, friends, is a teaching that God initiates from beginning to end to make a person right with God. Because a person in and of himself cannot be right with God. It has to take God's initiative. And the Bible teaches us that sin has separated man from God. And the gap is so big that only God can bridge that gap. And so God bridged that gap by sending Jesus into the world to deal with sin that created such a gap so that man can be in a right standing or a right relationship with God. Jesus, God's Son, as predicted by the prophets in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, had to come in the way God had planned. No other way. It had to be exactly as God had said and as God had planned. And so when the fullness of time had come, says the Apostle Paul in Galatians, God sent his son born of a woman. And Jesus, the Word, was incarnated into flesh, although he was supernaturally conceived. Jesus was born naturally in the way any human baby is born. The only difference is that Mary did not fall pregnant by a husband. You see, she fell pregnant when the Holy Spirit impregnated her. Joseph, obviously, it would cause a problem to him. As it would cause a problem to any man if the woman was suddenly pregnant by someone else. I mean, imagine you're going out with this woman, you love her, you basically have given consent in the sense that you've proposed to her, you've been engaged to her, there's a legal binding, and suddenly this girl falls pregnant, not by you, but by somebody else. How would you respond? Now friends, notice Joseph's godliness here. Joseph's godliness is seen in the fact that he was shocked by the news that his future wife is pregnant. And the fact that he was shocked meant he wanted to consummate the marriage on his wedding night. And the fact that he wanted to quietly divorce her meant that he was not the father. It tells you that he did not have sexual relationship with his wife or with his girlfriend before marriage. And if Joseph did not sleep with Mary to make her pregnant, then in Joseph's mind, who made her pregnant? And Mary tells him, the Holy Spirit made me pregnant. What? Says Joseph. You know, I mean, this was never heard of in the history of Israel. Joseph did not and could not believe this. I can imagine his conversation with Mary. Sweetheart, I mean, that's how godly people speak, isn't it? Darling, honey, sweetie pie. Sweetheart, you know we never keep things from each other. I've been absolutely honest with you. And I want you to be honest with me. We have been transparent in our relationship. And I know how much you love the Lord. And this is going a bit too far, my sweetie pie, by telling me that you are pregnant by the Holy Spirit. No one in his right mind, no matter how godly they are, will want to believe something like that. And I'll tell you this. Let's not pretend that it never happened. Something did go down here. The fact is, you're pregnant. I will not disgrace you. I will not shame you. I will quietly divorce you, and no one will know from me. Isn't that amazing? What a man. What a man. See, godliness, friends, will express itself in how a person responds or reacts and communicates in difficult situations. You see, brothers and sisters, everything from our reaction, our communication, and our response in how we treat others, the Lord records and hears. God will deal with the situation in the most perfect way. And this is how God dealt with Joseph after his treatment of Mary. Have a look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." Godly response follows godliness. And God, through the angel, assures Joseph and confirms and affirms what Mary had told him. Now listen to me very, very carefully. Okay, I want you to switch off from your lunch and listen to this. When people come and tell you that God told me to tell you such and such and such, or when a person tells you, "God spoke to me last night to tell you such and such a story about your life," and I am passing this on to you, friends, whenever this happens, be very, very careful. Anything God has to say to you must be confirmed in and through His written word. His written word is His final authority. Only in exceptional circumstances will God come in divine visitation. And this happens when the written and spoken word of God is impenetrable. Now, I have a DVD where true stories are documented and made into 5 films. This DVD is called Dreams, and many of you have been given a copy of that. If you don't have a copy, come and talk to me. And all those who God divinely visited in a dream live in Islamic countries. Even here, the word of God was still in this Islamic country, in the mind of the Islamic person that has been given this divine visitation, even then, the word of God was required to teach the new convert about Jesus. So it's confirmed in God's word that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the true God. This kind of thing happens only for God's glory, so that Christ may be known in a country or a community or a village where he is basically not known or where there is persecution. So in this context, we are told that it was to assure Joseph that Mary is speaking the truth, and secondly, to fulfill the word of the prophet. Have a look at chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 of Matthew. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In other words, it was given to fulfill Old Testament scripture. So what I'm saying to you today is, don't let anybody come and tell you that God told me to tell you this. But if he does come and tell you, listen, God's word says this is how you should live, and he opens the scriptures and he shows you, then it is the written word. It is God speaking, not the person now. And if God is speaking through his written word, you must listen. Don't ignore it. Don't get angry with the person. Don't think that he's just being nitpicky. It's God's word that is telling you that you ought to change the pattern of your life. And you got to listen. And if you listen, you will be blessed. If you don't listen, you will be cursed. You got it? Notice also the godliness of Joseph's response and obedience. What a man he was. He never questioned the Lord or questioned Mary after this affirmation and confirmation. He never questioned her. He obeyed God's word in Matthew 1:20, where it says, take Mary home to be your wife. Notice another remarkable characteristic of good and godly parents. Have a look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25. But Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Do you know what it's saying, brothers and sisters? Joseph had no sexual union with Mary throughout a pregnancy. It takes a strong man and a man of absolute character to resist the temptation of sleeping with his own wife during such a time. Now there are three things you should know that the Bible is not teaching. Underline not. See, the Bible is not teaching that married couples are not to sleep with each other when their wives fall pregnant. Got it? It's not teaching that. The Bible is not teaching, secondly, abstinence in marriage. And the Bible, thirdly, is not teaching the immaculate conception of Mary in terms of her remaining a virgin and that Mary should be worshipped as God. Now listen to this. The word until is important because if you look at verse 25 again, but he had no union with her until. It's very important to see why the word until is there. Because Joseph, after Jesus was born, and after the specified time of purification for a woman took place, lived with his wife as a normal married couple would live. And therefore, they had other children. James and Jude, which is recorded in the Bible as books of the Bible, are both letters written by Jesus' earthly brothers. The one mother, not the same father. And even the one mother was a vessel. That is the caliber of this couple chosen to be instrument of God's Son. The one used as a vessel, the other supporting the vessel that God uses. Friends, husband and wives, married couples, listen to me. And I'm very, very serious when I speak about this. Because I'm 24, this is 23 years, I'm in ministry and I've seen it, again and again and again. There are godly people, you know, Christians, within the context of families. And sometimes the Lord sets apart a person to be used mightily within the context of the church. And the spouse, instead of supporting that vision and dream and desire, becomes problematic. Because they don't see the vision. They don't see the dream. They don't see the desire. And so instead of supporting, they suppress. And the poor person is not able to engage because the wife or the husband is continually problematic. No, I don't want my wife to be used here. Or I don't want my husband to be used here. It's a serious matter. The Bible says you've got to support. You see, Joseph supported his wife throughout the pregnancy and throughout the marriage and did what God expected them to do as vessels of honor. And I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, that you've got to be a vessel if you are being used by God. The husband or the wife ought to support. Now that's my introduction. So I haven't even touched the verses in Luke chapter 2. If you want to listen more about that, come tonight. I guarantee you it's going to be even more powerful than what you're going to be listening to this morning. That's just my introduction. So three things before you leave. Godliness begins with an individual's connection with God and His Word. Godliness begins with an individual's connection with God and His Word. The second thing that you need to know is godliness begins at home. Not when you're in church. See, when you come to church, you don't make me happy. You don't make the council happy. You don't even make God happy when you come to church. Some of you come to church as if, you know, you're doing God a favor. Well, when I say come to church, I mean coming to the gathering of God's people. So godliness begins at home. As charity and love begins at home, godliness begins at home. Starts there. Starts with the family. Thirdly, godliness influences and spreads when it is caught from parents to children and taught the right way. In other words, you can't teach your child godliness if you are not godly. And you can't teach your child or children or even tell them anything not to do if you yourself is doing it. You understand what I'm saying? Godliness as habits are more caught than taught. And I pray that your godliness will be such in your home that it will be caught like a flu. Indran was sharing a joke with me. I don't know whether I should share it with you as I was sitting there. And I wasn't being rude to Celine or anything. It just caught me at the wrong time. And I thought it was funny. All right. I gave Celine a copy, a list of all those that are not unwell, sick. Many of us. You heard the names that have been prayed for. And Vivian or Deborah, please assure your father that we have been constantly in prayer for him as he underwent that operation. And I can understand what it must be for the family, what it must be for everyone connected to your dad. It's not an easy time. We've been praying. We thank God it has been successful thus far. We pray for healing. And he asked Terence, Indran asked Terence, how are you? He says, I have the Christmas fever. Now, I thought that was funny because, you know, we're talking about sickness and he said he has the Christmas fever. And what are the symptoms that Christmas gives you that makes you have a fever? So that triggered something in me that was funny. Maybe not funny for you. But coming back to fevers, I pray that the fever of godliness will be catching this season and every day throughout your life. Friends, as Indran comes and the musicians come to play, come to the keyboard, I want us to just bow in prayer. Our Father, in a short while, we will be switching off our minds to all that we've heard in terms of God's Word. And we'll be on our way home, we'll be in our own conversations, and we'll be connecting with friends and families and cousins, and all kinds of people will cross our paths. And our God Almighty, yes, it is a time that when it is a time when the church celebrates. It's a time when exciting news is spreading that Jesus Christ is born the King of the universe. We pray that God Almighty, we will be given the opportunity to allow how we view Christmas, the right view of Christmas, that when we speak it out and when we display it, it will be like a fever that will be caught and people will hear that Jesus is not just some celebrity. Jesus is our God and our Savior and our King and our Redeemer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.